Leviticus 20, these are the words of God. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, Whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Moloch and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Moloch. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am Yahweh your God. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male, as he does with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his guilt. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness, he has exposed her flow. She has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from their people. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for that would uncover his near of kin. They shall bear their guilt. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. You shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. You shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or bird, by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You shall be holy to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This chapter largely covers the same offenses as back in chapter 18. In chapter 18, there was the repeated motivation for keeping the command that they would be holy, because Yahweh, their God, is holy. That motivation is here, but it is not repeated over and over like it was in that chapter. In this chapter, what is repeated over and over again are the various penalties for some things they were to be executed. For some, this execution happens in some cases specifically by stoning, in some cases specifically by burning. In some cases, it's not specified. And then there are excommunications, cutting off, being cut off from the people of God. And this excommunication is not something that happens only in this life. It is something that happens much more dreadfully in the life to come. So that an excommunication is actually a stiffer penalty than an execution. In an excommunication, God says that he sets his face against the person. And they are cut off from their people even after death, even eternally. And so that's actually much more dreadful. But by giving, by being the one who designates each of the penalties, the Lord emphasizes to them that not only do they respond to his holiness by being holy as he is holy, but they respond to his holiness by maintaining his church as he says for it to be maintained, and by punishing offenses in his church the way he says to punish offenses in his church. The order of his church, the order of his covenant people, is not something that is left up to them. They are mere creature. They are merely the redeemed. He is the holy creator and the redeemer. And therefore, one of the ways that we recognize the holiness of the Lord is by operating in his church according to his word. Now, one of the difficulties that comes up for us then is that his word actually commands penalties that are sometimes difficult for us to consider inflicting. On the one hand, we are horrified that someone would cause his children to be given to Molech, to be killed for this idol god. And yet the Lord actually has to institute a command not only that they should be put to death, but to warn them about what will happen if they fail to do this. And we'll come to that in a moment. But for the same reason that, for one of the same reasons that that sin horrifies us, it is difficult for us to imagine having to inflict excommunication or execution upon one of our children or one of the covenant children. What we saw back in chapter 18 when it talked about offering children to Moloch is that the defiling of the land was actually worse than the death of the child. Now, if we think about this in terms of the preponderance of the biblical evidence of covenant children, God having called them saint and are not having any evidence to the contrary, and so are having good hope concerning them, like David did when he said of his child, who died even for David's own sin as a punishment for sin, and yet David said, I will go to him, he shall not come to me. And David was confident that his child had gone to the Lord. But the defiling of the land was worse than the death of the child. And so we should really be horrified, not just for the tenderness that we have towards children, but with the reverence that we have towards God and towards the fact that they are his children, they are covenant offspring. It was one of the reasons he hates divorce, one of the reasons he hates adultery. And in Malachi is that it robs him of the godly offspring that are one of the purposes for which he has given marriage. And so it's an idolatry in that it worships Moloch instead of Yahweh, it defiles the land, and it treats those children that have consecrated, that God has consecrated to himself by putting them in covenant homes. In the New Testament, he would call them saints. And it does not honor that they belong to him. Well, sometimes the children do not honor that they themselves belong to him. They want to belong to themselves. They do not want to acknowledge their creator. They do not want to acknowledge their covenant redeemer. And so it does not matter that he who made them and he who redeemed them and he who put his name upon them is the one who has assigned to them their particular father and their particular mother. They become petty and rebellious and wicked. and even to the point of cursing father and mother. Not just in a moment where the thought crosses her mind or the word crosses her lips, but they become a condemner of their parents and a curser, a reviler of their parents. And everyone who did this was to be executed in Israel. And everyone who does this is to be excommunicated even now in the church. For although the church is not now a state and does not have the power of the sword, we must remember, as we've already said, that the penalty of excommunication in Leviticus 20 is actually more severe than the penalty of execution. Cut off does not mean merely having their breath cut off or their blood cut off or their life in this world cut off. It is a much more dreadful, covenantal, spiritual, profound thing. And that does continue in the church in the New Testament, for which the Lord Jesus describes his cutting off churches as removing their lampstand, removing his gracious presence from among them. And by his apostle, he refers to excommunication as handing someone over to the devil. And so it is no small thing. Indeed, it is worse than death. And this is one of the reasons why we would shrink from, and it grieves us. We tremble to inflict it, and yet we must inflict it because, as we said, this is part of counting God holy. It's treating his church as holy, not tolerating sin. Every one of us, with our own heart, we treat God as holy by not tolerating sin in our heart. Every congregation of his church must treat God as holy by not tolerating sin in the church. No, we call to repentance, and we rejoice over repentance with heaven and the angels. We rejoice over repentance, but when there is not repentance, then we do follow the process by which we end up binding and loosing, or at least the officers of the church bind and loose on earth what has been bound already in heaven. As the Lord says, Matthew 16, verse 19, Matthew 18, verse 18, and there's it's a parallel at the end of, towards the end of John. There he doesn't say, he uses the present tense, not the future perfect, will have been bound. But a church that fails to practice discipline, like he describes in the opening verses, will itself come under the same discipline from God. They might inflate their membership numbers and attract to themselves unbelievers as they get puffed up by those who prefer nice to holy. But they will not find that so nice in the last day before when they stand before the God who is holy. And the Lord says that he will give perpetrator and permissive tolerator the same penalty. This isn't just for people whom we see not just in verse 9, but 12, 13, 16, 27 in this chapter. Same thing, their blood is upon their head. In other words, don't spare them. Don't think that you're doing anyone any favors. They're already in this position before God. It's a mercy to them and a mercy to the church for you to inflict the penalty, that they might realize the actual spiritual reality of their condition. But it's not just for individuals. It's not just for churches. Lest the church defile God's name, but it's also for nations, which we see, because God doesn't just threaten Israel because they are in covenant with him. He threatens them also as a state, as a nation in the land, and says, there are other nations in the land before you. And the Lord says here, he abhorred, he hated those people because they committed such sins as this. Committing these sins is the way a nation shows that they have a God other than the Lord. And he implies here that even if the nation is not the church, even if the nation is not in covenant with God as a church is in covenant with God, yet every nation has an obligation to have the true and living God as God of that nation, and to follow his moral law in the laws and in the conduct of that nation. And so he plainly says in this passage, verse 22, verse 23, that these other nations God has abhorred because of their doing all these things, verse 23. And therefore, if Israel does not want to be vomited out of the land as a state, as a nation, they must keep all God's statutes, all God's judgments, and not follow the ways of Molech, and not follow the ways of Baal, and not follow the ways of the various demon idols that the nations follow, and even unto this day. The nations at that time did not think that they were serving demons. I'm sure they thought they were much more sophisticated than that. And the wicked nations that tolerate, perpetuate murder and perversion and theft and idolatry today probably fancy themselves to be secular or scientific or rational or permissive or humanistic or whatever it is that they want to flatter themselves as thinking is good when they're really just serving demons. Nations must serve the true and living God, particularly now that he has revealed himself most of all in the person of Christ. Nations must serve King Jesus. And so we are to treat him as holy in our hearts and in our lives, lest we bring our blood upon ourselves. And a church must not tolerate sin. Church must insist upon holiness, a life of repenting from its people, lest it defile God's name, which has been put upon his people. End of verse 3, defile my holy sanctuary, profane my holy name. And a nation must acknowledge the true and living God and not serve demons, not serve idols, not tolerate wickedness in the nation. God is holy, and he must be treated as holy by people, by churches, by nations. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these reminders from your word. We do confess that one of the reasons why we are a bit startled at and have reflexes of bristling against some of the penalties that you give is that we simply do not understand your holiness, O Lord, and therefore we don't see the seriousness and the greatness of sin, the wrath that it deserves, the discipline and the corrective action that is worth taking in order to maintain holiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that you'd help us, that you'd make us to have a right view of you so that we could have a right view of ourselves and a right view of sin, and that by your Spirit's applying your word to us, we would be ready to do whatever is necessary for holiness, even as our Lord Jesus used the images of plucking out eyes and cutting off hands. O Lord, give us to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.